Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
Father, we are trusting you to take us further tonight. We are asking that you will release us from that which continues to tie our hearts to earthly things. We are asking, O God, that you will show us again and again what is the glory set before us. What is the joy set before us. What is the provision set before us, that we may hasten and concentrate and invest all our lives and strength for that which is eternal. Thank you for hearing this prayer. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Please be seated tonight again. We are trusting that God, who has brought us thus far, He will carry us beyond. In the name of Jesus. Two passages we want to read tonight. Two passages. When we are ending in the afternoon, we ended on a very, very passionate note. I've been praying that God will allow us to go back from that point and to move on. I still trust that God will take us there, but I suppose that God would like to gather the meeting again so that if there be anything that has not been carried along, the Holy Spirit might help us. Much of today, God is dealing with the rationale for living and for laboring for eternity. And in the first segment this afternoon or this morning, we're looking at the rationale of the nature of earthly things. We noted that everything of the earth, even though it has a kind of seeming glory, it's a glory that fades away. We ended on a note. We saw that until Jesus said, "Get thee behind me," because of the joy that was set before him, he was able to keep going. Now, this night, we're going to read some few passages. I said two. Essentially, we're going to read from the book of Hebrews. We're going to be looking at those who lived and who labored for eternity. What did they see? Hallelujah. Those who lived and labored and rushed for that which is eternal, what did they see? I told you in the morning that except God will help you to see the emptiness of the earthly glory, you might not be willing to let it go. And except God will open your eyes to see the glory of that which is eternal, you might not be eager to rush for it. So our prayer has been that God will do something today. Because as from tomorrow, we will now begin to look at the practicality of living and of laboring for eternity as the Lord will be guiding us. Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. As we read Hebrews 11, we shall also read chapter 12. Now, are you already in Hebrews 11? Hebrews 11? Right. I want you to look at Hebrews 11. I'll read from verse 8. And I would like to stop somewhere in verse 16. And then I will go further and read from verse 24. And I will get as far as 27. And if we can read further, we will keep reading. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had what? Opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Verse 24. By faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured and seen him who is invisible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go quickly to chapter 12. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Chapter 13. Are you in chapter 13? Praise the Lord. Chapter 13. No. Yes, chapter 13 is alright. Let's read chapter 13 before we stop. Verse 10. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burnt without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now tonight I'm looking at men who lived and labored for eternity. What was their rationale? What did they see? What did they see that made them to long and to spend and to get spent for eternity? Men like myself and yourselves, what did they see? And I just want to take illustration from all those men that we have talked about tonight, hoping that as the Lord will move us on, God may bring you to a position where you can see. And then we can pray together and commit ourselves to the Lord particularly. I want you to note, like I started in the morning, that the earth, or what is worldly, we don't want to assume that it is not real. We said it is real. We said the earth also has a glory, and it flashes it everywhere. But there's something about the glory of the earth. There is something about the pleasure of the earth which our fathers and our elders in the faith, they saw, and they decided to put it where? Behind them. And there was something they saw about the glory of that which is eternal that made them to embrace it. So I want us to look at it very, very particularly as we are looking unto the Word of God together. First, we are us. Please listen to this. We are us. That which is visible. That which is the earth. What did I say about it? It is visible. It is visible. But Brother Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, that which is visible is what? I'm not hearing you. It's temporal. This man that labored for eternity, one of the things that is very, very challenging to me is that they did not misunderstand the nature of that which is earthly. That it is what? It is temporal. But they said, that which is eternal, that which is invisible, what is it? It's eternal. One of the very critical things about that which is worldly and that which is temporal is that it is visible, it is imposing, it appears as if it is real. And it appears as if it is immediate. It appears as if it is something that gives expression unto your life. But one thing about it, we have noted, it fades. It is a camouflage. It does not satisfy. Now the Bible said, we are looking at Abraham. What made him to live for eternity the way he did? Few things I want you to note as we read that scripture. We are not going to study Abraham and look at how he left and all of that. We just want to look at the summary of what were their own perceptions that made them to live the way they actually lived. The Bible says, when Abraham was called out to go into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, he obeyed by faith. And he went out, not knowing where he went. That's something about the difficulty of living for eternity. Eternity is not immediately visible to the ordinary eye. Is that all right? Eternity is not immediately what? Visible to the ordinary eye. And so as many as live by sight, they are going to live for what? I'm not hearing you. They will live for that which is earthly. Those who want to live by what their eyes have seen, generally speaking, they will not be able to live and labor for eternity, because much of the eternal one is invisible. So when Abraham began to obey God, the Bible said, when he got to the land of promise, he was dwelling and sojourning there as a man who was in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has what? Foundations. Whose builder and maker is what? Is God. Can I pause there? Can I pause there? When Abraham caught a vision of that which God was offering him, he saw something ahead. What did he see? A city which has what? Foundations. For it is a city without foundation. I'm wanting God to help you discover that that which is of the world, a city, quite alright, but it is a city without foundation. That's the first thing about it. Secondly, the builder and the maker of that which is of the world is man. And it's not God. And my friends, if the Lord will help you to understand tonight, whatever is man-made, what is it? What is it, please? It's temporary. According to 1 Peter chapter 1, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Please, someone that has a loud voice, without closing the book of Hebrews, go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Would you please read for me, verse 23 up to verse 25. Yes. Yes.
By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory.
It's all right now. It's all right now. For all flesh is as grass. Eh? You are not hearing. Are you hearing? Or are you tired tonight? Don't be tired. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man. How is it? How is it? It's as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof, what happens to it? It falls away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Unto you. I want someone to read it for us from Old Living Bible or from NIV. Can you read for us the Old Living Bible or the NIV? Yes. I want you to go to verse 24 quickly. All men are like grass.
And all their glory is like the flowers of the field.
And all the glory of man is like the wild flower.
The grass withers and the flowers fall.
Thank you. Where is Old Living Bible? Yes. Yes, our natural lives will fade as grass does when it becomes all brown and dry. Yes? All our greatness is like the flower that droops and falls away. My friend, are you hearing me? You will not be great on earth forever. Whether you understand or not. All the greatness of man, how is it? It's like flower. Tell somebody, if your greatness is on the earth, it will soon drop like flower. Have you known any man that was great forever? Eh? If you look at most of the men that were great in Igbo land before they died, what happened to them? Eh? You are not answering anymore. How did they die? Their flowers dropped. They became ordinary people. Even before they died, they became a mere thing. Some of them, they began to beg for contracts because their glory are gone. It's not because they are evil men. It's because they are men. You hear me? Anywhere all over the world, anything that comes of a man is like flower of grass. It withers. So when Abraham responded to the call of God to go and receive a city, listen, he was no longer looking for a city that has no foundation. He was no longer concerned about a city whose maker and builder is man. They knew that one will fade away. So the Bible said, how was he living in the world? Let me ask you, how was he living? How was he living? He was living in tents and in tabernacles. He was sojourning as a stranger in the world. Because as far as he is concerned, he already saw the end of the world. Let me ask you a very simple question. I don't know whether you will be able to answer me quickly. Are you ready? Are you ready? Have you seen construction companies when they are constructing road? And when they are marking the road, a house fell on the road. And so they brought that red something and they marked it red X. Eh? And you noted that actually they have awarded the contract to that road. And actually from the other side, they have started clearing and bulldozing the road. And somebody offers you that house that has been marked red X, he wants you to come and buy it. What will you do? Eh? You will say, I am not interested. Why are you not interested? You have already seen the red X on it. And if you are even a tenant in that house, when they came to put red X, will you start painting the inside of that house? What will you start looking for? You will start looking for another house, even though nobody has given you a quit notice yet. What is making you now to behave as if you are just sojourning in that house? Eh? Because you have seen the red X that very soon this is marked out for demolition. So for that reason, it's not that you are spiritual. It's just that you have seen that this particular house has no destiny. And that as these people are coming, they are going to bulldoze it. So what will you start to do? You will be looking for another house, isn't it? Now, even while you have not got another house, what will you start doing about your property in that house? You will start packing it and taking it maybe to your mother's village and say, please, keep this thing for me in case the day these people come and they are ready to demolish, they won't allow me to pick anything. I have seen it happen several times. There was this double carriage road they were making from Abuja. How many of you have traveled to Abuja in recent times? That double carriage road they are making from Abuja, from Karu, coming towards Kefi, when you are coming towards the east. There were churches that were built very close to the road. There were upstairs that were built, fully built. I'm telling you, churches that were fully built. When the people that were constructing the road came and they started marking them X, I saw how the owners of that place began to pack. They started sending their valuables. Because once these people began to demolish, they don't give you time to pick anything anymore. They demolished things so much. People were begging, please help me to remove my roof. They said, we don't have time for that. I saw that people that live for eternity, they didn't live for eternity arbitrarily. They saw something. They saw something. If you also see it, I know you will be reasonable. Asking you to live for something eternal will not be difficult if you saw it. When they saw that there is red X marked for demolition, nobody begged them to park. They were still staying there. I know how people were staying there until the bulldozer came. But they were staying there now with nothing that is valuable. Do you know what they are doing now? They just kept a temporary bed that as soon as they see the bulldozer wanting to hit the house, they will just pick it and go. The important thing that will cost hundreds of thousands, they have moved away. And as the house was being demolished, all they simply did was to carry their handbag and they walked away. People said, you don't have anything here, Gezer. I have already transferred my things. Are you hearing me now? Do you remember brothers who were living in Kano? During Kano riots. The first people, when the first riot came, and it caught the people unawares, they are the ones that suffered loss of their goods. After that, what did you see our people doing? I want to hear from you. They started packing. You saw Gongoro vehicle coming down to the east. They were packing valuables. Some of them are still going back, but they went back now. Say, let's go and see what they will do. They sent their wives home. They sent their children home. Do you know that some of them came and located their children into schools back home here? Am I correct? And they went. And they were living temporarily now. Once people knew that these people can bring riot anytime. Were they buying landed property anymore? Never. Those that had houses, they began to auction their house. Houses suddenly became cheap because they know that that house, rather than allow the people to come and burn it down when they are ready to destroy things, let me sell it out cheap. And they quickly collected what they can collect. My friend, were they spiritual for taking that decision? What were they doing? They were just being reasonable. They saw something. Living for eternity is not a big matter if you see properly. The brothers, the Bible said, they look for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. They are not looking for something temporary anymore. Now, I want you to go to verse 13. The Bible said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but they have done something. What have they done? Having seen them, how? Afar off. May the Lord help you to see eternity afar off. In the name of Jesus. Having seen them afar off. There was a vision. They were persuaded of them. They didn't doubt. They were persuaded of them. And what did they do? They embraced them. They embraced them. They embraced them. And look at three things they did. They have seen them afar off. They were persuaded of them. Number three, what did they do? They embraced them. Number four, what did they do? They confessed. Let's take note of four things that this man that saw eternity, what did they do about it? Number one, they saw them from where? Afar. Number two, they were persuaded of them. They were convinced. They were convinced of them. Number three, what did they do? They embraced them. What does it mean to embrace? Please, what do they mean to embrace? They hugged. They held it to heart. They were excited because they saw it, they embraced it in their heart. They began to confess. They began to speak to others. What were they saying? That they were strangers. And what? And pilgrims. Where? They began to confess. They spoke. We are strangers. We are pilgrims on the earth. The Bible said, they that say such things, they declare how? Plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, what would have happened to them? They might have had opportunity to have returned. But now, they desire what? A better country. That is an heavenly. And for this reason, God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he has prepared for them, what? A city. Praise the Lord.
They saw it.
They were persuaded of them.
They embraced them.
And so they spoke about it. They confessed, we are pilgrims and we are strangers. Now, I want you to listen to this. How will a man live for eternity? Two things have to happen. You must see the red X on the earth. And I want you to know that there is red X already on everything that is earthly. Do you want to see where the red X has been written? Eh? Do you want us to check it? Follow me. Go with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Don't close Hebrews because we are coming back. But go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Will you read verse 9 for me? Yes. Yes. Not willing that any should perish. Go ahead, sister. Go ahead. As a thief in the night.
Heaven shall pass away with a great noise.
With a great noise.
And the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
Uh-huh.
The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
Verse 11.
Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved.
All these things shall be what? What's the meaning of dissolve? Eh? They will be melted. Yes?
What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness.
Yes.
Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless.
Thank you, sister. Thank you. Did you follow the Bible as she read it? Eh? I'm not hearing you. Now, I'm asking a question. Have you seen a red X already marking the entire earth? Eh? Have you noticed that? I wonder why you are buying a plot that's been marked red X. I wonder why you are scrambling for what will soon be dissolved. I really wonder why is it difficult to understand that no matter how long it will take the government to construct a road, once they already marked it, and they put red X on one of the houses that fell on the road, I thought that common sense would have taught anybody who want to buy land that that is not a kind of house to buy because it will be demolished. I wish the Lord will help you to understand that as the Bible says, he said, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Friends, everything yearning under the earth will melt, including churches. How I wish, while we are building our churches, we will not forget to remind ourselves and remind our church members, this also shall dissolve. I hope when you are building your house, it will be clear in your mind that this also shall do what? Shall be dissolved. I know that you will say, that's how they said, and some of us built temporary houses. If I know that the coming of the Lord will not happen, I will have settled down and done something permanent. There's nothing permanent you can do here. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? You are a foolish man who decides to put all his treasure here on earth. It will soon dissolve. If it does not dissolve at the time when everything is dissolving, it's like grass. It will fall away. It will decay. It will reduce. And it will pass away. The brothers in Hebrews chapter 11, they saw that. And so they determined in their hearts that we will be pilgrims, we will be sojourners, we will be strangers on the earth. We will rather invest, we will concentrate our resources and our treasure. Where? In the heavenly. What manner of persons ought we to be in all manner of holy conversation? Please keep that passage. We are going to read it when we are about to pray. Praise the Lord. Now, when you go back to Hebrews 11, the Bible says, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, if they had been what? Mindful. Did you understand? So what did they do? They put it behind. And they no longer mind it. My brother, the reason why your mind keeps going back and forward is because what? You are still mindful. You are still mindful of that which you are supposed to have left behind. Your mind is still looking. Remember Mrs. Lot. Do you remember Mrs. Lot? I'm not hearing you. What happened to Mrs. Lot? Why did she look back? She was mindful of what she left behind. She told herself, how can I go leaving behind this big thing? Of course, I know why she looked back. Can I tell you why she looked back? She had nothing to look up to. She had nothing to look up to. She had not seen anything. She was just following her husband. Whereas her husband may have seen something that he was pursuing, she saw nothing. So when they said, don't look back, don't look back, don't look back, it was cumbersome not to look back. I imagine that she was gazing in front and she saw nothing. She said, look, I can't see anything. I don't see where we are going. Let me look at where I'm coming. She had opportunity to look back. Unfortunately for her, as she looked back, what did the Bible say? She became a pillar of salt. Her own destiny was sealed. She became a useless nonentity. The only thing that the Bible will remind you, say, remember Lot's wife. May the Lord help us. If they were mindful of that country that they left, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now, they desire a better country. So I want you to note that as far as they were concerned, what God was offering them was what? Was the better country. Even though it's invisible, but in their hearts they knew it was better. And because of that, God was not ashamed to be called their God. That's why today God calls himself the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And do you know the Bible said, why did God say, I'm the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? The Bible said, God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. So can I ask you, what does that imply to you? That Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they are doing what? They are alive. They are living. They have entered eternity now. And God is happy to belong to them. God is happy to lavish upon them all about his own glory. Amen. As I leave Abraham, let's look at Moses. Why was it possible for Moses to labor for eternity? Why? Let's look at it. In verse 25, the Bible said, he chose rather to do what? To suffer affliction with the people of God. Than to do what? To enjoy. What? For how long? What do you notice that Moses saw? What did he say about the pleasure? That it's temporary. Brothers, I pray that God will help you to know that the pleasure of the world is temporary. That the pleasure of sin is for a season. It doesn't last. And nobody can hang on it for too long. It will soon finish. So this brother, having seen the temporariness of the pleasure, the Bible says he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Verse 26. The Bible says, esteeming. Please, all of you note the word, what? Esteeming. What does it mean to esteem? Eh? To regard, to count, to recognize, to estimate. The Bible says, he esteemed the reproach of Christ as what? Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think Moses left Egypt? From what we are reading, why did he leave Egypt? I thought somebody would help us. Why did he leave Egypt? He saw the temporariness of Egypt. Why did he embrace the reproach of Christ? He saw it as greater riches. Than what? Than what? Than the treasures in Egypt. That's why they labored for eternity. I have spent today looking at the rationale. The rationale. What made them to do what they did. And I noted that he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Can someone read verse 26 for me? From NIV or from Good News? Any other version that is simpler? Who reads that? Let's take the sister.
He regarded his wealth for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt.
As a greater value than the treasures of Egypt.
Because he was looking ahead to his reward.
He did what? I'm not hearing the sister.
Because he was looking ahead to his reward.
He was looking ahead to his reward. Where's good news? Good news.
He reckons that the scorn for the Messiah was worth far more than all the treasures of Egypt. For he kept his eyes on the future reward.
He cast his eyes on the future reward. He reckoned that to suffer scorn for the Messiah was worth far more than all the treasures of Egypt because he kept his eyes on the future reward. That was why they were able to labor for eternity. Where did he keep his eyes? On the immediate? No. I pray that God will help you to prepare for the days ahead. Now, you might think that maybe what I'm talking about is only for people like Abraham, people like Moses. I'd like you to know that even for Jesus, he was not living for eternity arbitrarily. There was something that made him to go through. What was that? The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 12 that we have read. Can you remember Hebrews 12 verse 2 that we have read? It said, looking unto Jesus, what? The author and the finisher of our faith. Ooh, for what? For the joy that was set before him. Read it for us from NIV. Hebrews 12 and...
perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Was Jesus able to endure the cross arbitrarily? Was he able to despise the shame just like that? Why was he able to do that? He saw something. There was a joy set before him that made him regard the cross as a very light thing. He made him to see that all the shame. Do you know that one of the things that is disturbing some of us is the shame? Am I right? Do you know that shame is a weapon in the world system to take you back into its rat race? I don't want to tell you how shame almost finished my life. How shame would have derailed me for life. I know you would not have heard anything about me. I would have been locked up somewhere now. I'm sure I would be in one laboratory. Eh? Using test tube. I would have been cracking my head on useless things. And the people I wanted to prove a point to, they have died long ago. But my own life would have been confused. Thank God for delivering me. I told you that God has started to help me to see the emptiness of the world. Jesus was able to despise the shame. Because the devil is going to create shame for you to return. He's going to make you ashamed so that you want to do something to show the world that you are also something. This night, what did they see that made them to say no to the world? They saw the glory. They saw that which is eternal. It was invisible to the eyes of people, but they saw the invisible. Before we finish, I wish you are reading for me Hebrews 11 again, verse 27. 27, yes, by faith.
Invisible.
No, you have jumped something. Can you repeat it? By faith?
By faith he forsook Egypt.
Yes.
Not fearing the wrath of the king.
Yes.
For he endured as seeing him who is invisible.
Hallelujah. Excuse me. What made Moses to forsake Egypt? What made him not to fear the wrath of the king? Eh? Because he saw something. The Bible said he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You know, many times they say, Moses forsook Egypt. He didn't forsake Egypt for nothing. No. He forsook Egypt because he saw something. Let us not be arbitrary. Let us not preach arbitrary message. How can you leave this the real for the unreal? Is it reasonable? I want to inform you that those who live for eternity, they saw something. And I am praying. You know, we prayed in the afternoon, but we are praying again tonight. Lord, give me a vision of eternity. Give me a vision of the invisible. Give me a vision of the glory that others have not seen, so that I may be able to throw my life into it completely to the glory of God. When we came to chapter 12, we saw that Jesus saw the glory that was set before him, the joy that was set before him. For that reason, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. It doesn't matter whether you are laughing at him. And now, he is settled down at the right hand of the throne of God. There was a man that sold his own birthright. Eh? Who was that man? Why did he sell his birthright? Eh? The Bible gave us a clear reason. He said, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat, sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he had found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully for tears, with tears. Why? He didn't understand He didn't see the future of the birthright. Eh? He didn't know that a time is coming when it is the birthright that will determine what placement it will be. In fact, the day he was selling his birthright unto Jacob, do you know what he said? They take it. Of what use is my birthright to me? He didn't see the future. He saw the immediate. He was hungry for that moment. A morsel of pottage will quench his hunger. But he did not remember that after hunger is quenched, there is a life to live. Would you sell your birthright because of immediate pressure? Eh? I'm not hearing you. God forbid. There's a future for me. There's a future for you. May you take a decision tonight not to mortgage that birthright before the time comes. If we have space of time, we don't have tonight, we will have gone further to keep seeing the men who labored and lived for eternity. But it is enough for me to draw conclusion on this tonight, that those who actually lived and labored for eternity, there's a rationale. There are two things that they saw. They saw the demolishing mark on their world, and they saw an enduring glory that God set before them, and they decided to let go of Egypt and to embrace that which is eternal. I thank God that people, when they saw and they saw the glory, they could no longer hold on unto rags that the world is calling beauty. Finally, can I tell you finally? Let us therefore go forth unto him outside the camp. Do you know something with Jesus? He was outside the camp of this world. My master, he was where? Outside the camp of this world. When he decided to embrace the cross because of the joy that was set before him, he was led outside the gate. The whole world said, away with him. Away with him. He's a careless man. He's a useless man. And some of you are afraid that if you follow this way properly, your people will say, away with him. Eh? Your people will say, don't mind him. But we began to trace a matter this afternoon. I think God will want us to go back on it, maybe sometime tomorrow. That every time you said bye-bye to the world system, you are opening the gate for your life to be resourced from heaven. I was concluding in the afternoon that poverty, struggling, is only because you have not let go the glory of this world. That's why heaven has sealed up and they are waiting. So let's see how much it can get from the world system. But if you will let go, you will come to a position where the things that the world system are running after, they will come to you as a matter of following. They will be behind you. Amen. Amen. They will be behind you, and you'll be walking for something glorious. We may have houses, we may have cars, we may have lands, But they are nothing compared with what God has set before us. This night, brothers, here we have no continuing city. The brethren saw that. They knew that there's nothing here that is permanent. And so as a result, they were ready, they were willing to follow him outside the camp. He said, but we seek one to come. As we stop here, there remains one question I want you to answer before the Lord tonight. It's just one question. And God was not ashamed to be called their God. For he has prepared for them a city. My question is, why was God not ashamed? It's because they also, they were not ashamed to be cast away by the world. In fact, the scripture says, of those people, the world was not worthy. The world could not tolerate them. The world was not willing to accommodate them. And for this, God was not ashamed to identify with them. I don't know how to explain what that means. That God was not ashamed to be called their God. He was not ashamed to be called their God. And the reason is because they themselves were not ashamed to say bye-bye to the world and to pursue what God is showing them. As we pray tonight, you took a decision in the afternoon if you were here. But this night, I sense that we must be praying together particularly. What are we praying about? Father, open my eyes. Let me see the invisible. Amen. Let me see what my colleagues cannot see. Let me see what my age mates are not seeing. Help me to see the invisible. Thank God for Moses. Do you know what Moses left? How many of you remember what Moses left? He left Egypt. He left the traditional title of Egypt. He left the most powerful country in the world at that time when he would have been their ruler. Everybody that understood, they were crying for Moses and saying, Moses, you are foolish. What are you doing? Moses said, this is the wisest decision I could ever take. I have seen something. I have seen something. I have seen a glory. I have seen a treasure. I'm going to give up this that I may possess it. Tonight. Those of us that are understanding, we're going to say, Father, give me a vision of the invisible. As you set the joy before Jesus, he kept seeing it. So the cross was no problem. As they were crucifying him, he kept quiet. Somebody say, if you are the Son of the living God, do what? Deliver yourself. Did he answer him? Why did he keep quiet? He saw the joy that was set before him. Why was Moses not unhappy when they removed the chariot of Egypt from under him? And when he became, a mere shepherd in the house of Jethro, why was he not unhappy? He saw him. That was what? Invisible. Will you pray tonight that before we go, God will open your eyes. This thing we are praying about is not just a mere matter, that you will see a glory. You will see what lies ahead. I thank God that what lies ahead of me is nothing compared with everything I am leaving behind. They are nothing. Will you pray for that tonight? Maybe you thought you have seen, but the way your heart is fluctuating and you are turning here and there, it shows that you have not seen well. It is possible that as we will be praying tonight, you have realized that yes, something is holding you and entangling you because you are afraid of shame. Will you despise that shame tonight and say, Lord, let me see the things you are showing to me. Only those who saw it could go for it. Eternity, except you see a vision, you see the invisible, the world is too real and domineering, you will not let it go. But tonight, I want to pray, Lord, open our eyes that I may see that which is invisible. It's possible that you have not been able to forsake your Egypt. And there are several things that could be your Egypt. It is possible that some of you are still involved in a wrong business. That's your Egypt. You have heard the word of God several times. And when it is time to let it go, you give explanation. And what was your explanation? I said, but what will I be doing? What will I be eating? What kind of business will I be doing if I don't do that? So you kept postponing and procrastinating your obedience to God. Can I say to you, as long as you are holding to Egypt, you are postponing and procrastinating what God will have given you. Are you sitting here? Your Egypt is a young man. Permit me to tell you that young man that you thought if you should take your stand, he will refuse to marry you. I met a sister, Christian sister, so-called. Because she has stayed for a while and nobody seemed to have come to her. You know what she told me? She said, everybody that comes, I just have to give them what they are looking for. Because they told me that if I don't give them, they will not marry me. You know what she's giving them? She's giving them her body. So I asked her, I said, are you not a foolish girl? How many of them have stayed? She said, that's what I'm asking you to pray, sir. After they have entered into me, suddenly I will now become like a sheet to them. And they will not come again. This is the third one that has jolted me. I say, you are a foolish girl. You don't know that any young man that is first looking for what to take from your life before he becomes committed to you will never be committed to you. Maybe you are sitting there tonight. The reason why you find yourself going back to that man is because you can't see the future. You are asking, if I don't go to him, who else will I marry? If I don't yield to him, who will give me money for my school fees? If I don't go back to him, who will support me? You've not seen the invisible. If you don't repent tonight, you jeopardize your future. It is possible altogether that fear has not allowed you to give your life to Jesus Christ. You know that if you give your life to Christ, certain wrong things you can't practice again. But then you are saying, if I should give my life to Christ now, where will I get all of that? But when you see the invisible, like some of us by God's grace, we have come to prove that, yes, when you give up one man, God gives you 100. Are you hearing me? When you say no to the devil, angels will come back to minister to you. God said to that rich young ruler, go and sell all you have. Give it to the poor, that you may have treasure in heaven. He didn't see that. He went away sorrowful. We are going to pray. We've not given chance since we started this morning for those who are saying, I want to forsake Egypt. I want to let go. The Bible said, if they were mindful of the country they came from, they might have had what? Opportunity to have done what? To have returned. Friend, have you returned? Have you returned to your vomit? Opportunity came to you to return, and you returned because you were mindful. I was teaching with a Christian sister some years ago. When she first gave her life to Christ, she wrote off her boyfriend. She did it so seriously because she thought that as soon as she does, some other Christian brother will come. But then they didn't come on time. So, what happened? I noted that each time we were talking, she kept remembering the young man she left behind. I didn't know him because I didn't meet the man. I met this sister, Christian sister, and we were fellowshipping and we started Bible study and she was coming for study. But anytime I meet her on her own, she's talking of Charles. I said, who is Charles? He said, well, he's not a Christian. That's why I couldn't go with him. I love him, but he's not a Christian. I wish he was a Christian. I wish he's a Christian. But I love him. You love an unbeliever? I said, who is this person? He said, we were together for some time. In fact, if not because I became a Christian, maybe we would have married now. The day I was writing him, he was weeping. He said, are you leaving me? I love you. I said, I love Jesus better than you. You know, almost every day, she's talking of this man. She was mindful. One day, it was a blessed day. I will not forget. We were studying Bible with this sister. I thought I was following up somebody. When this man drove in, that was the end of Bible study. As soon as he came in, I saw drama. She did like this and said, I have a special visitor. And let's quickly round up. Because he may not like this. And I don't want to scare him away. I sat there because I really felt she should not go back. Unfortunately, the young man saw me as an enemy. The next time he came, my sister was saying, she was asking a question. Can't one give chance for someone whom you love, trusting that he will be converted? I said, are you sure? Are you not falling already? The day she was packing to follow this man, I was there. I was reading the Bible. She told me, I know this is the will of God I know, but I cannot do otherwise. Just pray that God will forgive me. I was asking, are you sure he's born again? He said, I'm not sure, but I want to marry him. I have waited for too long. God himself knows that I waited. And she followed. Few weeks after, they got married. But few weeks after, the marriage scattered. She ran back and said, Brother Gile, you told me, you told me. I said, no. No, please. You're already married. Go and stay with him. She said, but he's going with other girls. I said, don't worry. That's your husband. One time I went, the man had just beaten her very well. He said, look at me, look at me, he's beating me. I said, you are married. Relax. Relax. Why did she go back? She was mindful. Maybe you are sitting here, you are mindful of the country where you came out from. Some of you, you've left fornication, but you are still mindful of how you used to do so. So you are practicing masturbation now. You will soon go back. Some of you, it was those strange books you used to read, and God delivered you, but you are still keeping them. You are mindful of the country where you came from. You will soon go back because opportunity to return will come. My fear is that you will lose out completely. Tonight, who among us is saying, I want to leave Egypt? I want to say bye-bye to Egypt so that God might take me to my provision. There's a provision for you. Are you sitting here? Jesus has been knocking on your life, but fear will not let you surrender completely. Fear will not let you stand where you should stand. You are still standing in between. As we call on the name of the Lord tonight, those who lived and labored for eternity was because they saw something. Brother, there is no spirituality in saying, where I'm just living for eternity. You must see it. May God reveal it to you. In the name of Jesus. We're going to pray. I think you should stand up as we pray together. I think you should say to the Lord, in the afternoon I said, get it behind me, the world system, with all their glory and with all their power. But tonight, I'm also saying, Father, open my eyes. I want to see the invisible. I want to see the glory that lies ahead. I want to see the joy that you have set before me. I want to see the power that you have made available for me. I want to go beyond where I am standing today. Lord, take me. Lead me onto higher ground. Shall we pray together? Shall we pray together? Will you open your mouth and let's talk to the Lord together? Lord, I can see Abraham. I can see men like Moses. I can see men who forsook their Egypt in order for them all to press and to hasten even for that which is eternal because of what you show them. Open our eyes tonight, that we also may see. Thank you, Jesus. That we may see. Deliver us from this myopic situation. We have fear. Say, what will I eat? What will people say?
What will the world system say? Lord, I want to live for that which is invisible. Oh God. Oh Makarabashandarabasila. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want you to pray this prayer no matter how tired you are. I want you to say to God, take my mind away from the country that I have left. I don't want to keep fluctuating. I don't want this thing to tie my mind back. Set my affection on the things above, not on the things below. Set my heart. Set my eyes. Set my eyes. I don't want to keep looking back at the things I threw away. The things that you threw away, you don't need to look back at it. Lord, set my mind. Set my affection. Open my eyes that I may see. Lord, help me to see. Help me, Father, to see. Sheri baba baba baba. O robo sanda yakataura masombo robosh. Iri mosata yakataura kaboro boshiria. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. O Lord, tonight, help our hearts. Lord, set my eyes on that which is invisible. I want to live. I want to scale the utmost height. I want to climb the highest height and catch the glory bright and hear the songs of saints on higher ground. Lord, plant my feet. Plant my feet, O God, on higher ground. Plant my feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.